proposed as the anthem of the Soviet Union back in 1943, it is now better known as We Sing the Praises of Transnistria, the anthem of the so-called state of Transnistria, with three official language versions, Moldovan, Russian and Ukrainian. For the past 25 years, the region has come to represent a post-Soviet frozen conflict zone. But over the weekend, some 300,000 Transnistrians, almost two-thirds of the population, turned out to vote for their new president, Vadim Krasnoselsky, who won with 62% of votes. The de facto state has its own currency, number plates, national anthem and flag, with the Soviet hammer and sickle. Piotr Lekse is an Eastern European social historian at the Institute of European Culture in Poznań, Poland. He says that for Transnistrians, the Soviet Union was just one face of the Russian Empire.
The fact that Transnistria is not recognized is no reason for concern for Transnistrians, since for them it's a functioning de facto state. When a Transnistrian watches the weather forecast, he or she sees the map of Transnistria, just like a Pole or a Frenchman sees a map of Poland or France. Transnistria has existed for the past 25 years, and a whole generation grew up not knowing any other reality than the Transnistrian one.
When traveling abroad, Transnistrians use either a Russian, Moldovan or Ukrainian passport because their de facto state is only recognized by Abkhazia and South Ossetia, also unrecognized states that have been formed from other post-Soviet conflicts. But a lack of international recognition has not hindered Transnistria's existence. The Russian Federation has sponsored it, culturally and financially, over the past quarter of a century. At the Polish Center for Eastern Studies in Warsaw, senior research fellow Kamil Cawus breaks down the balance sheet.
For Moscow, of course, it's a cost. Transnistria used to cost and still cost about $1 billion a year to support the economy of the so-called country. Yeah. Russian financial assistance for Transnistria have several financial components. The first one and the biggest one is the so-called gas subsidy. So this is this free gas which Russia is supplying to Transnistria.
Kamil says Russian patronage can be seen in other spheres of Transnistrian life.
There is a Russian organization called Eurasian Integration, which is using Russian funds to finance certain social projects. They're investing in hospitals and kindergartens and so on and so forth. And then there are also funds which are being directly injected into Transnistrian budget. So these are money that we know about.
During the Transnistrian presidential election, Moscow did not actively side with any of the candidates, as it had on previous occasions. The Kremlin's lack of engagement did not mean it had lost interest in the region. It was more of a sign that it was preoccupied with other issues in the international arena. Nevertheless, here in the Moldovan capital, Chișinău, Victoria Bocătaru, director at the Foreign Policy Association think tank, says there is little to suggest that Moscow will change its attitude.
At the present time, we don't see a willingness from the part of the Russian Federation to settle the Transnistrian conflict, mainly because they consider that in this way they are keeping the influence over the Eastern Europe region, and mainly they are keeping the situation unstable also at the border with Ukraine. For them, this is a very important stake.
Next year, Russia will send another 65 billion rubles, that is 1 billion euros, to prop up the Transnistrian budget. Moscow's main focus is to maintain stability and prevent any possible political conflict from within the de facto state. Although the Kremlin did not side with any of these six presidential candidates, Russia's ruling party openly supported Vadim Krasnoselsky, as did Transnistria's state monopoly corporation, Sheriff. It controls the largest supermarket chain, petrol stations, a mobile phone network and a television channel. So what exactly is the corporation's role in the country's external politics? Historian Piotr Oleksy.
On an economic level, we can expect Sheriff to engage in simple constructive dialogue with regional business partners, though without any groundbreaking agreements. However, this could change if Moscow were to come to an agreement with Western countries.
With President Krasnoselsky stating that Transnistria is part of the Russian world, the de facto state will continue to look east for political and financial support. But with a struggling economy and 40% of exports going to European Union markets, the business-orientated Sheriff monopoly may look to form closer economic ties with Western partners. Philip Warwick for RFI, Chișinău, Moldova.